This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
How it's worse for the Pope. Pope won't fix the Catholic Church. I'm saying this as a lifelong Catholic. I was baptized Catholic. I was First Communion is a Catholic. Confirmation is a Catholic. He ought to fix the Catholic Church and concentrate on his work and leave border enforcement to us. He wants to attack us from securing our border. He's got a wall around the Vatican, does he not? So he's got a wall around to protect his people and himself, but we can't have a wall around the United States. So I wish he'd stick to the Catholic Church and fix that and leave border enforcement to us.
So there's Tom Homan, the border czar, says he's a lifelong Catholic. And I guess the Pope has been making some comments about the American plan to secure their borders and to remove illegal aliens from our country. Let's ask our friend Jory Murdoch what he thinks about that. Nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and a Fox News contributor, and our friend here on Wednesdays on the Annie Frye Show. Welcome back to the show, Jory. Good to have you.
Great to be with you again, Annie.
So, you know, every day we come to work or you open up the news and Donald Trump has done it again. He continues to fulfill his promises. And the border security and his follow through on this, specifically with Tom Homan, is my favorite thing that he has followed through on so far. And it's making some people upset across the world.
Yeah, and as you say, the results are incredibly dramatic. This just figures came in through Bill Malusian, who does such a great job at Fox News. His sources reported that, I think for the month of since February 1st, number of gotaways at the border, 132 per day. Compare that to the peak under Joe Biden when the border was just completely ripped open, 1,800 per day back in fiscal year 2023. So 1,800 per day fiscal year 2023. Now under Trump, 132. That's a 93% decrease.
That's crazy.
And we're just getting started. I mean, that's just within, like, you know, the first 3 weeks of this man's presidency, his second presidency. So it's astonishing. And apparently there are caravans that have been trying to come up from, you know, Guatemala, Honduras, and Mexico, and they're just turning around and going home and saying, all right, I guess that's not going to work, and going back and doing the right thing, which is, if you want to come to the United States, great, go to the U.S. Embassy, fill out a visa application, and wait in line like everybody else.
So, you know, one of the criticisms of Donald Trump, I guess it's from the Pope. I don't what he said here in a letter: I exhort all the faithful of the Catholic Church and all men and women of goodwill not to give in to narratives that discriminate against and cause unnecessary suffering to our migrant and refugee brothers and sisters. I mean, it's really a matter of definitions, I guess, because when he says that, and I'm reading this from work that you have put together here, when I'm reading that, what is a migrant and what is a refugee in the United States right now? Because there's a lot of people here who may not qualify for that status, and yet they're getting lumped into that status.
Well, this is a trick the left always plays. You know, if you say, look, you know, I think that the illegal alien situation in America is out of control, they'll say, why do you hate immigrants? Look, almost every American is for it. Legal immigration. If you show up at an airport or a border crossing and you have a passport with an American visa on it, 99% of the country says, great, come on in, work hard, you know, save your money, obey the law, and we will welcome you as, you know, a foreigner, somebody with a green card, and eventually, if everything goes right, you'll be an American citizen, and people will do cartwheels. You break into our country, that's another story. So here again, the Pope is playing games and lumping together people who are migrants. Migrant to me says you come in, you stay for a while, and you leave. That doesn't mean you break in, you stay. Number one, refugees, meaning you're escaping a war or famine or you're a political prisoner, potential political prisoner, something like that, or you're a legal immigrant. You know, those people all have perhaps, if not a right to be here, maybe a right to be treated well, if you want to put it like that, versus illegal aliens who break into this country. And even beyond that, the Pope said that there's talked about the idea of the Good Samaritan, and that these people should be meditating on the love that builds a fraternity open to all without exception. And when he says without exception, I wonder if he's referring to people like the illegal alien armed robbers, child molesters, child pornographers, rapists, the killers of MS-13, mass murderers of Tren de Aragua, and even terrorists who are connected with ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Those are the kind of people that Donald J. Trump and Kristi Noem, the DHS secretary, and border czar Tom Homan have been booting out of this country, thankfully. And I guess the Pope objects to that, thinks these people ought to be welcomed in our country and greeted as our newest Americans.
Yeah, I watch when Trump is being criticized by high-profile people like the Pope. He certainly has influence over many Americans, but many people worldwide. I feel as though Donald Trump came in this second term, maybe with that little bit of a that I was going to say purgatory of 4 years between, but I don't know if that's the appropriate use of purgatory in this context. But this break that he had, where he had 4 years to think about what he wanted to do, 4 years to watch what he had built be destroyed intentionally by the only policy that Joe Biden and his administration had, which was the other thing that Trump did. Let's undo it.
Un-Trump agenda.
The un-Trump agenda, exactly. But when you see the Pope saying things like this, does it ever make you raise your eyebrow and think, I wonder if that's going to get to Donald Trump? Or do you feel like he's got the resolve that he knows exactly what he needs to do and he's going to get it done?
Oh, I think he'll get it done. I think he's totally focused on this and he's getting the results he wants. And last I saw, the Trafalgar polling company has him at 54% approval. He's more popular than he's ever been. He's more popular than he ever was in his and also, you know, you look back at November of last year, I saw these figures and I was surprised, actually, when I researched this article that's in the American Spectator, by the way. It's not quite there yet, but keep an eye on the American Spectator, and that'll be there hopefully tonight or early tomorrow. Back in 2020, Joe Biden beat Trump among Catholics 52% to 47%. Last November, 2024, Trump won the Catholic vote 59%. To 39% for Kamala Harris. So he went from losing the Catholic vote by 5 points to winning it by 20. So when the Pope attacks Trump, he's also attacking his own brothers and sisters in faith in the Catholic Church, who knew exactly what Trump wanted. There was no secret about wanting to rebuild the wall and close the border and engage in mass deportation. He talked about this as, you know, rally after rally, podcast after podcast. And yet, either because of that or in spite of that, 20% won a 20% margin with Catholics. So the Pope is totally out of step with this. And, as Tom Homan pointed out, the hypocrisy here is just staggering. You know, he's spoken out, the Pope has spoken out against walls. If you build a wall to keep foreigners out, you are, quote, not a Christian, unquote. He lives behind a 39-foot high wall in the Vatican. Trump's wall is only 30 feet. So the Pope's wall is 9 feet taller than Trump's. So as I said in my piece, if this really bothers the Pope so much, Your Holiness, tear down that wall. It did. If it did that, you know, you could take him seriously, perhaps.
You're going to just make me start coughing again. Troy Murdock with us right now. Fox News contributor, nationally syndicated columnist. I love a Reagan reference. I want to ask you about the confirmation process that Donald Trump is he's having win after win. It's just wins upon winning, like so much winning. Tulsi Gabbard's
too much winning.
Tulsi Gabbard's confirmation has taken place now, which some people question whether that would happen. RFK Jr. is on deck here to be next. Is there anything? Do you see any major roadblocks in Donald Trump's way to continue to get his America First agenda accomplished?
You know, I don't, as far as the confirmations go. I think part of it is, politicians know, if there's one skill politicians really master, it's reading polls. And as I say, for Trump to have 54% approval and for him to be as popular as he's ever been with win after win after win, and not just 9 to 5 or 9 to 6. I mean, he had, 10:30, 10:45 p.m. last night. He welcomed Mark Fogel, the American teacher who'd been held against his will in Russia for, I think, 2.5, 3.5 years, something like that. Joe Biden was there, couldn't get him out. Trump shows up within, 23 days, and here he comes, and he's visiting Trump at the White House at, 10:45 at night. The man never sleeps. And I just think with all the momentum Trump has, apparently, I guess we're going to get another hostage out today, or not hostage, but another person has been being held inappropriately, I guess is going to be released today, according to the State Department. It's just, victory after victory. It's not like two or three a week or two or three a day. I mean, it's literally about every hour or two. I've been just jotting them down, and I can't write quickly enough. It's staggering. So I think that people see a winner. They know a winner. They want to be associated with a winner. If Trump were down at 45% or 40% and really taking a lot of heat and the criticism stuck and that sort of thing, I think people like Mitt Romney, I always keep saying Mitt Romney, I mean say Mitch McConnell and Lisa Murkowski and maybe Lindsey Graham occasionally, and some of these other folks might think, well, let's jump off the ship and start, causing grief for Trump. But they just see this bandwagon just rolling along with increasing momentum, and they want to jump on it and hold on for dear life and enjoy the ride rather than get run over by it. Although Mitch McConnell, I guess, maybe likes being under the bus rather than in the bus.
Jory Murdoch speaking with us. Before I let you go, do you remember Joe Biden? Because it's kind of hard to. We had so many conversations.
Ooh, Joe, what was that name, Joe? What did you say?
Yes, exactly. Like, if you think back on the conversations that you and I were having every week during the Joe Biden administration, it was just so awful every single week. And Donald Trump hasn't even been in office for a month. And it's like completely and totally forgettable about what Joe Biden had done to this country.
Forgettable, erasable, if you will. Trump's executive orders have erased almost everything that Biden did. I mean, his legacy is just pretty much, just gone. And I think also people, whether they agree or disagree with Trump, even his critics have got to say, look, the guy gets up early in the morning, he goes to sleep late, he gets a lot done between when he opens his eyes, when he closes them back and puts his head on the pillow. And just that level of energy and engagement and activity and leadership, I think, really stuns people, especially after 4 years of this guy just sort of sleepwalking through the presidency and getting things accomplished. Like getting these hostages out, like closing the border, like getting Canada and Mexico to put their own troops on the northern and southern borders, getting Maduro, the dictator of Venezuela, to agree to take the Trinidad-Aragua guys back to Venezuela and pay for the flights. I mean, this sort of stuff, and Trump makes it look easy. I mean, it looks like he does it just like people just stand up and walk across the room. And you compare that to Biden, who spent so many years just getting so little accomplished. And here comes Trump, and it's just almost effortlessly. It's just victory after victory after victory after victory. And people see that, and not only is Joe Biden forgotten, but I think he's forgettable. And I think he even looks worse in retrospect, because we can sort of all think, well, if he just exhibited, 10 or 15 or 20% of the energy and focus and drive that Trump has in spades, how much more he could have accomplished. Maybe not necessarily things you and I might have liked, but at least the left could say, look, he could have gotten this, that, and the other done. And instead, he just, every year that went by, he was just more disengaged, low energy. Towards the end, I believe he spent some time in the American Virgin Islands around Christmas, and then he went to Wilmington, to his home, and then he went straight to Camp David. I mean, the guy wasn't even phoning it in. He wasn't even on the phone.
Mm. That's so true. Oh, it's good to be on this side of it with you, Droy. I just enjoy our Wednesday conversations now. They're always enjoyable, but they're even more fun now.
Absolutely.
For some reason.
You bet.
Droy,
nice,
thanks.
It's nice to win, isn't it?
Yes. It's so nice to win, and it's good to have you here with us, Droy. Thanks for being with us again.
All right, Andy. Thanks very much. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Droy Murdoch, nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, Fox News contributor. Another Fox News contributor right around the corner, our friend Joe Concha. You got to buckle up for Joe Concha because he brings all of it, and he gives you all the details of the things with just a little extra flair. When you hear from Joe Concha on the Andy Frye Show, we love talking to him. The winning is almost excessive, but not quite. We could go a little bit further with the winning, and we'll talk to Joe Concha about that when we come back. So don't miss it. If you want to vote in the YouTube live chat poll, it's a very important poll, folks. The people want to know, are you more concerned about the price of eggs or the price of government? Because if you look at the Democrats, they're the ones, they're kind of like making you choose. Which side are you on, people? We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
For major government reform. There should be no doubt about that. That was on the campaign. The president spoke about that at every rally. The people voted for major government reform, and that's what people are going to get. They're going to get what they voted for. And a lot of times, that you know, people that don't get what they voted for, but in this presidency, they are going to get what they voted for. And that's what democracy is all about.
Oh, what you know, Joe?
Joe Concha, Fox News contributor. What
you know, Joe? Well, there you have Elon Musk explaining to the press what the American people voted for. And I would love to hear Joe Concha explain to us the Elon Musk factor right now. How important has Elon Musk been to taking the pressure off of Donald Trump? Joe, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Annie. I'm not sure Donald Trump feels pressure, but
yeah, that's just true.
All of that said, I just can't get over the fact that we have a media that they're given a talking point. They're given a memo. They're given a meme. And boy, do they go with it without questions whatsoever. So this week, it's everybody has to say, okay, constitutional crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you say that over and over again. Do we have to define what the constitutional crisis is? No, of course not. Just keep saying it. And if you say it enough, maybe people will believe it. This apparently is the constitutional crisis. You have a president who was duly elected, both with the popular vote and the Electoral College winning every swing state. He, as a CEO, as an executive, like running a company, once you are made the CEO, then you hire people around you and you delegate certain responsibilities to them. In this case, Elon Musk and Doge was tasked with going in and auditing government agencies for wasteful spending, for possible corruption, or both. And obviously, in our federal government, if you ask 100 people on the street, I'm pretty sure 99 will say, yeah, there's probably both in our government based on what we've seen in the past. So apparently this is a very big problem for people where they're just going off on Musk, who's worth $400 billion, as if he's trying to go in there to get the Social Security numbers of people to steal from them, as Elizabeth Warren said, instead of just doing a job where he's already running like five companies at once, and he's not getting paid to do this one. He just happens to care about the country. And this is what he's good at based on what we saw at Twitter. So apparently that's the constitutional crisis, that if you question an activist judge's ruling, then that's a problem and that's going to lead to. No, it's not actually. It's, boy, all I know is under Joe Biden, he defied the Supreme Court over and over again on student loans.
Yeah.
A lot of coffee today on student loan forgiveness. And then obviously weaponized the Justice Department against Donald Trump. And oh, yeah, tried to, you know, put his own opponent in jail, not him, but, you know,
yeah,
probably directed by him or whoever controlled him. So I'm giving a very long answer here. But the point is that there's nothing wrong with what Elon Musk is doing. And most Americans are, this is what they voted for, and therefore they're liking it because of all the things he's discovering. That's the story, by the way, not Elon Musk.
Yeah,
what he's discovering.
It's wild to me to have such a clear understanding going into the election. If you vote for Donald Trump, he's going to do this, 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 and this.
Yeah.
And I've never in my lifetime, I don't think, ever seen a president immediately do almost everything that he said he was going to do, and it hasn't even been a month. I don't understand where the left thinks they're going to successfully land the point that we didn't elect Elon Musk and that as a non-elected official, he shouldn't be allowed to do anything, when we really remember the name Anthony Fauci. And we know how much that unelected official bureaucrat changed our lives, kept us from our loved ones on their deathbeds. I mean, we have longer memories than they need us to have. And the fact that Elon Musk is doing exactly, he was jumping up and down like a goofball on the stage to help get Donald Trump elected. This is not, it shouldn't be a surprise.
Not at all. Great point with Fauci, by the way, Annie, that's so true that he wasn't elected either. Right. And so many other people we could name, like Jill Biden, like Hunter Biden, that may have been helping to run things at the White House, or Susan Rice or Ron Klain, you know, whoever the shadow presidency was or whatever it was composed of. It's remarkable. But that doesn't justify. I'm not saying two wrongs make a right here, because having Elon Musk in this position absolutely is not wrong. And by the way, Tom Holman also wasn't confirmed by the Senate, and no one seems to have one problem with him.
True.
right? Because who wants to mess with that guy? So that's one starter. But yeah, he's been doing the same thing. He was hired by Trump. He was given a position. It's one that doesn't need Senate confirmation. And he's going about doing his job. And now we're seeing 93% drop in border crossings without one more inch of the wall being built. Just Trump's rhetoric alone and the show of force as far as our U.S. troops there, that's doing the job temporarily. They need a permanent solution there. I don't mean to change gears. But overall, 23 days into this presidency, every day a new hostage is coming home, which is remarkable. And we saw Mark Fogle last night, and you know, it was just so heartwarming to see him there with a Pennsylvania beer in his hand with Trump at the White House. And he was at a loss for words because, yeah, if you're in prison in Russia for 3.5 years, you're probably a bit, you know, shaken still to that point where it's hard to get your emotions together. But it was such a great moment, just like the Super Bowl was a great moment. And last night, MSNBC didn't cover one stitch of Mark Fogle at the White House. I found that, even for that network, remarkable, because that was obviously a very big moment. But overall, I have a new story in the Washington Examiner today, Annie, and it's all about how Americana's back, right? Like we saw during the Super Bowl, that Brad Pitt ad was amazing, right? We got, wow, Cowboys holding American flags again, and yep. I'm watching the troops at Iwo Jima, and I'm seeing the Apollo 13 landing, and like all that stuff. It was just like, wow, this is like jingoistic at this point. Then Trump gets cheered, Taylor Swift gets booed. I mean, what's more American than that? That was awesome. And by the way, Trump's day, he played 18 with Tiger Woods in the morning, then you fly to the Super Bowl. You want to talk about my dream day?
No kidding.
That guy just had it, right? So overall, yeah, we didn't see the woke commercials really much during the Super Bowl. I mean, that one Nike ad, like, they tell you you'll lose, you'll win. It's like, no one's telling you they're
going to
lose.
Didn't it stick out like a sore thumb, too? Like, we're having this, like, pro-America party, and everything is, like, there's just an optimism and a sense of pride that exists. And then Nike does their thing. It's like victimhood and trying to profit off of it, which is always the part that makes
it's
me
like
laugh.
They made it in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, here you go. You know, we're all for that. No one's Caitlin Clark is like the biggest athlete in the country right
yes.
now, right?
Yep.
And everybody celebrated that. So what the hell are you talking about? But overall, like, end racism, not in the end zone anymore, and Jalen Hurts, you know, thanking Jesus for guiding him to this moment. I don't know. It feels like America is back.
It feels so good, Joe Concha. It feels so good. And when I was, you know, when I'm thinking about girls' sports and watching Nike, like we're saying here, like it just was like, ooh, which one of these is not like the other? Nike, you are in the past. And it just sticks out like a sore thumb. At the same time, going back to Donald Trump having an amazing week, I played 4 sports through my senior year of high school. I love sports. I coach my, you know, I know that you're around youth sports all the time because I follow you on X. I'm around youth sports all the time. I have 3 daughters. My daughter plays volleyball. She plays basketball. I care deeply about it because I'm super connected to it. But other people don't care about it. But right now, yet last week, Donald Trump signing that executive order surrounded by all of these young girls is the most beautiful image that I have ever seen in my life. And then Nike's like, everybody's telling you you can't. I mean, like, that's so out of touch right now. And it's so obviously out of touch. It's enjoyable.
I think, Annie, I shared that my wife was a Division I athlete,
yeah.
right? And she ran at Georgetown, and you know, it's tough, right? To get to that level and to be at the level that she was, where she was once ranked 3rd in the country. And I've shared this story, but it's worth repeating. Like, she's not a very political person, right? She's got too much going on with the kids, and you know, she's a doctor, and it just, you know, a lot going on, right? And 2 dogs, by the way, and 3 frogs. I can't even begin to get into
and
how,
you, Joe,
and me. You got to take care of me. That's 2 full-time jobs. But you know, when that bill was, or at least the executive order was signed, and I think a bill eventually will be passed to make it permanent, she like stopped and watched and said, good.
Yes.
It's so unfair what's happening to so many girls on the collegiate level that are either getting hurt or getting beat when they should, for the rest of their lives, remember that they were a national champion or they finished first in their conference. And it's like, okay, this resonates with more women, suburban women, than we know. And the fact that, again, how many was it? 203 Democrats voted against the Protecting Women in Sports Act. How do you defend that?
No.
How do you run on that? That's a campaign ad against every single one of those Democrats. Because I don't see what common sense defense you have of, it's like saying, yay, steroids in sports. We should give people an advantage over other people.
Yeah.
Go Roger Clemens. Go Jose Canseco. No.
St. Louis, we say Mark McGuire.
Oh, Mark McGuire. I love Mark in 98. Yeah. And I'm a Sosa fan. It brought
baseball back. You could say that for sure.
Yeah.
You know, when you're thinking about Donald Trump and all of the wins that he is stacking up, and you're looking at the left, I mean, I'm sure that you've seen we're not going to play it right now. We've already played it probably enough. I've lost enough listeners today. The "Which side are you on?" chant from the protesters out. I mean, I just think that when the more you hear them say "Which side are you on?", the more people who are likely to change sides. What? Where is the left right now, anywhere, in any capacity, winning on an issue?
There are three things, right? They're unhinged, they are disorganized, and they are leaderless. Those three things ain't good. And these rallies, if you're a Republican, you want these things every day for the next 4 years.
Yes.
You want Jasmine Crockett everywhere, on the screen, in front of a microphone. You want more Maxine Waters. You definitely want more Elizabeth Warren, who sounds more crazy as she gets older. You know, I mean, just they all are screaming and they offer zero solutions. It's one thing to say this is wrong, this is what we want to do. They got nothing, and they can't keep up with Trump, so they can't coalesce around one message, because the target keeps changing. So they don't know where to aim exactly. So they landed on Elon Musk, I guess, which, okay, you want to go after the most successful person right now in business. I guess you could go ahead and do that. But the fear-mongering, when you fear-monger for 10 years, like they did under Donald Trump, fascist threat to democracy, and then you try the same thing with Elon Musk, no one's listening.
Yeah.
No one cares. The protests are, this ain't set to 2017 anymore. That's certainly for sure. Donald Trump's controlling the conversation. That's why.
Well, we are looking forward to your book coming out, The Greatest Comeback Ever, Inside Trump's Big, Beautiful Campaign. It's coming out in April. Tease people on your book a little bit. What puts you in the position to say, I have to write this book?
February of 2024. I watched Joe Biden once again talk about a conversation he had with a world leader that was dead for 9 years. And I said, there is no way this guy's winning. And Trump has everything on his side in terms of the issues, you know, inflation, border economy, you know, the wars and censorship and wokeness and all that stuff. Right. And I said, so this guy's going to win. And I probably should write a book on the campaign. And I kind of did a lay of the land, and no one else was doing that. So I said, all right, this would be kind of cool. Never really covered a campaign before. I could be embedded at rallies. I could have a conversation with the president, which I did. And I just want to go through the whole thing from soup to nuts. I never expected assassination attempts. I never expected Joe Biden dropping out and Kamala Harris being
installed. You started the book before that stuff happened?
Yeah.
And that book wrote itself.
I pitched it, and the book starts in May. But yeah, then it wrote. I swear to God, Annie, it did. Every chapter was just like, oh boy, now I got to write about the Al Smith dinner. Now I got to write about the Madison Square Garden rally. I got to write about these horrible debates where the moderators were so overwhelmingly biased. But the best chapter, obviously, was the aftermath. And the reaction to it and all the meltdowns that happened. It's utterly, you know, the quotes that I have in there, especially, in fact, I'll leave it here. Every chapter starts out with a quote from somebody predicting that Kamala Harris will win, and will win easily. You know, Bill Kristol, George Conway, Joe Scarborough, Nikki Haley. I got Republicans in there as well. Chris Sununu, you name them. All predicting that Trump was going to go down, and obviously that didn't happen. So, yeah, and the cover's great. It's got Trump waving at McDonald's, not the assassination photo, which he loved. I showed him when I was at Mar-a-Lago for New Year's Eve, and he goes, you know, the head of Google told me that was the most downloaded photo of the year. He goes, you know what you're doing. I would have gone with that, too. I'm like, all right, I got approval, so this is good. But, yeah, it's a great book, as you said. It's hilarious, too. I mean, you know me. It's not, like, serious and stuffy. Like, we have some fun with it.
I'm absolutely going to get myself a copy, and I can't wait to go through it, and we will continue to promote that to our listeners, because the read is good. Anytime you put pen to paper, Joe, it's entertaining, which is important, and we always appreciate you getting on the show with us here.
Thank you for quoting Gordon Gekko.
You bet.
A good one.
Take care, Joe. Thanks for being with us today.
Bye-bye.
Fox News contributor Joe Concha. You can follow him on X, which I encourage you to do, at Joe Concha TV. Specific to what he's kind of saying there, Joe has a way of, he's got his eye on the media, and he does the dirty work for us. He's peeking over at the people who you can't handle watching, and he just pulls out the nuggets that you're like, I'm glad I got that. Which he's including in his book, The Greatest Comeback Ever, which is coming out in April. A great spring read for you, maybe on your spring break. We'll have to find out the exact date that it comes out. Thanks for Joe Concha for coming on today. Wiggins America, no, forget about that. Ryan Wiggins, Wiggins America's over. Isn't it always Wiggins America when he's in here? Because it feels like it. We'll get Ryan back in here. I got to find out if he did a weather report. As soon as we went to send him outside, I think it stopped precipitating. I'm looking outside right now at the beautiful St. Louis flag flying in front of the library. And I don't think it's precipitating here. Is it where you are? Please let us know. Annie Fry YouTube channel. You can leave a comment right there while you vote in this very important poll. Are you more concerned about the price of eggs or the price of government? Annie Fry YouTube channel. Ryan Wiggins back in studio next. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I think that song is what they were going for when they said, "Whose side are you on?"
I don't think so.
Do you think they nailed it with what they did?
I think what they intended is what came through.
That's unfortunate.
For them and their cause.
When you listen to Joe Concha talk about like everything the left is doing, everything they throw out is another chapter in the same book of you guys are out of touch.
Yes. And he's right, too. And it's something that we've talked about before. There is no leadership right now in the Democrat Party. Nobody can figure out who's in charge. You have people trying to pretend they're in charge who are not in charge. But nobody can figure out who's the thought leader, who's the actual lead of the resistance.
Who do they have?
J.B. Pritzker.
Oh, hell. Sorry,
Elizabeth
kids.
Warren, I would say, has tried to be that, too.
She's so scary. That's what she sounds like. Everything is bad. Donald Trump is orange. Scary. That's a quote.
I didn't know if you were playing that from your computer.
Yeah, I know. It's so close.
She's trying. I can't think of anybody else who's maybe Jamie Raskin, but these people are not big enough names.
I think that Jasmine Crockett is making a full court press to try to be that person.
She's obnoxious.
Yes, she is.
She's not winning anybody over.
I don't think so.
I mean, if you've got three people in your party and they're all mad at the same thing and you're all just like high-fiving each other all the time, but you're being obnoxious, nobody's like, hey, guys, what are you talking about? Nobody wants to like... You side-eye that because you kind of need to see what's going on over there. That's like very foul. and wow, you're really behaving in a way that is unusual. I want to see what happens next. But you're not like, I want to go be associated with that.
There are two sides to this resistance right now. There's the side that just yells, we're not going to take this. We're not going to let them cut this government down. We love it. And then you have the other people who also yell, but they first, before they start yelling, they go, we're not against cutting government spending. We just don't like the way they're doing it. And then they start yelling, usually about Elon Musk. And it's a little weird because I can't quite nail down the argument. And I think America is having that same problem. What's the big issue you have?
I gotta find this clip from this woman today.
I knew you were looking for something.
Yeah.
So I kept talking.
I'm gonna have to. I think it was during the Faulkner Focus. That would be 10 o'clock. Because I was listening to this in the car, and I was thinking to myself. Like, here we go. I had to go pull up, because I listened to Fox News on my car through Sirius. And this woman was so ridiculous. I didn't recognize her voice. I had to pull her up so I could be like, because I was like, who is this woman? The way she was presenting her argument sounded like when I'm around junior high girls, high school girls, and they're arguing about something that I completely don't care about, but they're very passionate about it. The way they talk, the things that they say, it sounded just like this. Okay, can you put turn her up? See if we've still got it. I got a Mrs. Stansbury. I think she's from Michigan. You're good. I have to
unmute. Mandate that supposedly brought Donald Trump.
She's the minority leader on the Doge committee.
So she's the resistance.
She's a leader of the resistance against DOGE, according to the Democrats.
I never thought so many conspiracy theories and wild accusations could be wound into one five-minute speech, but I appreciate my friends across the aisle.
That's not a true statement.
I don't think she appreciates them.
She says, she speaks in sarcasm, and then she says, but I appreciate my friends on the other side. No, you don't.
I think it's right after that sentence that she goes.
First of all, let's talk about this massive mandate that supposedly brought Donald Trump into office. Donald Trump did not run on putting an unelected billionaire in charge of dismantling the federal government. He ran.
I literally said, yes, he did.
Yes, and in that subcommittee, they proved that he did.
She says that. We're going to listen to that little part once again. That's exactly what he promised he would do. And again, if you forgot about it, you'll remember that when Elon Musk was bouncing around like a bunny on the on multiple rally stages, you made fun of him for it. But he was super pumped to DOGE. And Donald Trump promised that they would.
This massive mandate that supposedly brought Donald Trump into office. Donald Trump did not run on putting an unelected billionaire in charge of dismantling the federal government.
He most certainly did.
He ran on lowering prices for Americans.
This is where this poll came from today.
Yes.
So this is the genesis of, are you more concerned about the price of eggs or the price of government? Because to this loony lady, Ms. Stansbury, who's the minority leader on the DOGE subcommittee, Donald Trump couldn't do both. He couldn't say, I'm going to cut wasteful spending in government, and I'm going to lower costs. She's half right, and she's half wrong.
I think it's interesting that while we're sitting here this morning, the top of the New York Times is reporting that inflation has risen unexpectedly as food and energy prices have soared.
Was that a January report?
That was a January report, yes.
Who was president for 75% of January?
I think I know.
I don't know that she does.
Forgot his name.
So
what's
did he.
Going on, guys? I thought you were going to tackle inflation and food and energy prices.
Lady, it's not going the way you think it's going.
Isn't that what the executive orders were supposed to do? Oh, wait. Or is dismantling diversity, equity, and inclusion in our federal agencies and putting an ideological agenda and trying to fire the federal workforce your actual agenda?
Yes, that too!
that was pretty close.
You're very right. You're right about all of these things. It's not like Joe Biden where we did one thing every 9 months. One thing every 9 minutes in the Donald Trump administration.
You thought you were going to come in here and start firing the federal workforce?
You didn't snap.
Yeah, yes, that's what he ran on. These were all part of the campaign.
I feel like I'm watching, what was that cheerleading movie that was big?
She's All That?
No, don't offend me. That is a great film work.
Bring it on.
Bring it on! Yes. Oh. She seems like she's motivating the cheerleading squad to beat the Clovers. I can't.
It's been cold in here.
There must be some Republicans in the atmosphere. Girlfriend, you saw it. That's right. Listen, it gets worse.
Have you been too busy trying to actually address the fiscal health of this country?
No, that's literally what the subcommittee that you're on is about. That was Jerry Seinfeld.
That was Seinfeld?
That's the girl version.
Jerry with an I.
G.
Because the numbers are telling us that you have. So let's be real about what's going on here.
Let's be real.
I also want to point out that literally while we've been sitting here for the last almost 2 hours getting lectured on fiscal responsibility, literally, the Republicans just released their plan to raise the debt limit while we were sitting here. And they want to raise it by $4 trillion.
That's why you're on a committee to lower spending from government. Lower spending. I understand raising the debt ceiling. I understand what that the implication is. It's because government has been spending wildly for too long and it needs to stop. If only there were a way to do it. If only there were a way to focus on pulling back on spending, which is what Elon Musk is doing because Donald Trump promised voters who voted for him with a majority promised that he would do this with Elon Musk. And how in the world did you find yourself as the minority ranking member on this committee?
Okay, guys. Like, literally, I'm just, like, without words.
You're literally not without words. Do you know what literally means? Okay, guys, like, literally, I'm without words. And then she goes on to talk for more minutes of time. She says literally 37 times with inflation. In this whole point that she's making, she said literally so many times. She says, I'm literally without words, and then she has words. That's not what literally means.
Inflation is going up. You want to raise the debt ceiling?
I can't wait for you to hear what Harris Faulkner says. She interrupts this.
By $4 trillion. You want to gut Medicare. You want to gut Medicaid. You're talking about going after Social Security after promising that you wouldn't.
It's not true.
I mean, really, what the heck is going on here? We're not trying to take down Elon Musk as a businessman. This dude is literally breaking the law inside of the federal government. And for a party that is supposed to be the party of law and order, in quotes, I really do not see you holding him accountable and doing your most basic constitutional responsibility in the separation of powers. So,
what does that mean?
I want to end where I started.
Watch this.
Oh, my goodness. We're being schooled by somebody who ran out of words and then started using the ones that my 18-year-old uses. This is the ranking member of the Democrats on the subcommittee on
Harris
the Department
Faulkner,
of Energy,
Queen.
Government efficiency, I should say. A look at that. They want to look at the war on waste now that Republicans are pushing forward. This is one of the promises.
She's so wonderful. She's just, oh, my gosh. Say no more. Literally, say no more. Stop.
Everything that she said had already been addressed in that subcommittee as being untrue. You know, it was like the Republicans knew what the talking points were going to be, and they had already addressed them. Mm-hmm. And she just went, uh-oh, I think I'm going to stick to the script
down.
That I had here. Because all of that had already been addressed in that right before that.
Oh, my God, guys. Literally, I have no words. Like, can I talk some more? I have words now. Literally.
Like this dude.
It's not going well for you folks. It just isn't.
Well, that's the resistance. I think that
here's the other side.
Is all of it.
Of
oh, which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Tell me.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? We'll fight against Josh. We'll fight Elon Musk.
If you're Elon Musk and you got Doge in a protest song, aren't you feeling like you made it?
If I hear that and I'm Elon Musk, I'm shaking in my boots. Oh, no. They've organized.
Oh. See, this sounds very similar to that protest song.
Every time I hear that song now, all I think is of somebody like pushing somebody up against the wall and going, give me my money! I need my money! Don't
all
take
right.
my money!
Mental cleanse, turn it up. We'll be back in a minute.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.